as badly as they're gonna live through yours, you're that's on them. Lord, you pray, you're trying to do it.
Thank you, brother. God bless. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. It's good to be back in the pulpit. Good to be back speaking again. If you will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, that's where we're going to start at tonight. I'm going to try to catch it up a little bit on where we've been because we didn't have a service last weekend, our last Wednesday night. Justin spoke Sunday, and it was a wonderful message. Justin had a wonderful message. I enjoyed it dearly. That's the first time I've heard him teach in a long time. Just to kind of get us to where we're at here, there's a lot of debate in the world about salvation. There's a lot of debate in the world about how people sin, when they sin, and when they don't sin. But the biggest mistake people make is about salvation. Understanding what God means when he talks about salvation. You know, there's old sayings that if you're an alcoholic and you don't recognize, or a drug addict and you don't recognize it, then you're not going to be healed from it. The first step to being healed from these things is admitting that you have a problem. One of the first steps to being saved is admitting that you're a sinner. And admitting that you can't do anything to save yourself. Now, you line up all the different denominations in the world, and you'll find them talking about everything from church membership to believing in Bozo and believing in Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and all these other things to be saved. You say, well, you get a little bit ridiculous. I may be, but most of what they believe is ridiculous.
Amen.
Salvation is the most serious thing in a person's life. The only sin that will condemn you to the eternal lake of fire is the sin of unbelief. I get debates all the time with other people, even Christians, even good Christians, about, well, maybe suicide will send you to hell, or maybe if you do this, you'll go to hell, or maybe if you do that, you'll go to hell, or maybe if you... Folks, either Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, or no sin. That's it. The Bible says Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Every sin we have, every single one of them.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about the damnable sin. The damnable sin is the sin of unbelief. And God help those that can't figure that out. God help those who can't figure out that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. We're condemned. We're born in this world condemned. We're raised in this world condemned. We're going to go through life condemned unless we're saved through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't cleanse our past sins. He doesn't cleanse our past and present sins. He cleanses us from all our sins. When he died at Calvary, he died for all of our sins.
Amen.
At one time, he literally died on that cross for my sins. So people want to talk about their works for salvation, their church membership for their salvation, kissing some preacher's hand, or giving him money, or whatever else they want to do for salvation, and what they're going to do is die and go to hell for it. There's not a more clear scripture in the entire Word of God that explains to us. I have spent 14, this is our 14th week, on the introduction and this first point convincing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way to get into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you believe in works for salvation, you're going to go to hell. If you believe on anything outside of Jesus Christ the Savior, you're going to go to hell unless God has grace upon you and you just don't know it. So, well, it ain't possible. I'm not going to tell you what's possible or not possible. I'm not God. God can do anything he wants to. And he does everything he wants to. Look at our scripture here. We ended last week with this scripture. Or we opened last week with it one. On the first part. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Alive. Now is there a more clear scripture in the entire Word of God that tells us that because of Adam's sin, not because of my sin, not because of your sin, not because of anybody else's sin, because of the sin Adam committed when he ate of the forbidden fruit, we were all condemned at birth. We were all born sinners. We're not condemned or going to be condemned because we've sinned. We're going to be condemned and are condemned because Adam sinned. God just told us in this scripture that in Adam all die. All. Everybody. Everybody is born lost. Everybody is born a sinner. Everybody is born condemned. Now, people want to stand up and debate that. Well, if you're elect of God, you're not. No, that don't figure into what we're saying here. The fact of the matter is, we're all born sinners.
Amen.
We're all born condemned. Because in Adam, we are all made sinners. Now, you flip the coin over, and you get to the other side, the second Adam God called him, which is Jesus Christ. So what's it say about Jesus Christ? It says, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Though not the same amount of people, for all people are condemned at birth, but not everybody's going to be saved. But all that are saved, every one of them, all of them, every one of them that are saved is saved in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else, no other way. Read John 10 when the Lord starts talking about the door and the porter. He says, there's no other way.
Amen.
You either come to the door, which is Jesus, or you don't come. And if you go through the door, you're going to find green pastures. And you're going to have eternal life. And when you die, you're going to be very happy. You may be miserable up to that time, but when you die, you're going to be very happy. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. God said, we're not saved by works, not saved by works, not saved by works, not saved by works. I've said it a million times. God says salvation is a work, it's not a grace. If it's a grace, it's not a work. How much plainer can God be for a bunch of heretics to stand up and tell us if we don't live a good life, we're going to all go to hell? Where does that put Jesus Christ? Where does that put God's Word? We've talked all these times, 13 sermons up to now, about Adam and sin, about how we're sinners, how we're totally depraved, how none will come to Christ. That's not my word, that's God's word, written in John, in Romans 3.
Amen.
None will come to Christ on their own. There's none that seeketh God. None that wants to understand. None that will come. None.
Amen.
Go to Romans 3. So this point is, mankind has one hope. And that hope is not in ourselves. That single hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, whom God sent to this world to be our sin barrier, to be our propitiation, to be our sacrifice, to be our scapegoat. But more important than all of them, to be our Savior.
Amen.
God has convincingly told us in these past 13 weeks, and we still have a couple more before we get to our conclusion, or including conclusion, I don't know. See how far we get. Now we see the solution. Now I must preach a message on the illness. People get illnesses, they have to be cured, don't they? Our illness is sin. It will kill us. Destroy us. Send us to hell. The remedy is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. If I spill water on myself, I'm having to do everything with my left hand. And I'm going to tell you right now, if God had created me without a left hand, I'd be a lot better off than to have it right now, because I am right-handed and I'm right-handed. I'm having to try to type with a left hand. It's like that's bad. Huh. Lord tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Everybody. Why? Because we're born sinners. Verse 24, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus and Christ Jesus. Since there's nothing good or usable in the human being or mankind, God sent his own Son, Jesus the Christ, to be our good, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to make us just, the just for the unjust, to make us just. I think I just turned my arm. It sure got a lot of pain. So God sent his own Son, dispatched him to this world in the form of sin, the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful, but in the likeness of it. He came here like we are. So if he wasn't a sinner, his father was God. Ours was Adam. Therefore, he don't have the sin. God said, he who knew no sin became sin for us. What a wonderful thing, right? Go to 1 Corinthians, if you will. 15. So, while you're turning there, God sent his own Son, Jesus the Christ, to be our good. It is only possible in him and through him. There's no me there. We can't make ourselves good Because if we're part of the solution, then Jesus Christ is not the solution. We are. And if we're part of the solution, then we can't be totally depraved. But if we're going to be children of God in Jesus Christ, we are totally depraved. He is our Savior. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. Let's read these words. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Goes back to our first scripture, doesn't it? In 1 Corinthians 15:22. Because that's the nut scripture, isn't it? So it's by one man that death came. That's Adam. Death didn't come because I sinned. Death didn't come because you sinned. God told Adam and Eve both that if you eat the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. Amen. He meant that literally. God means everything literally. God said that literally. Apparently Adam and Eve probably thought he was joking about that or something, like a lot of people do today. God doesn't joke. He's not humorous. He's serious. People are really going to go to hell because they're sinners. Hell really does exist. It really is in the center of this earth, where it's about 9,000 degrees, so they say. That's where they're going. That's going to be their dwelling place forever and ever and ever and ever because they're sinners. Rebecca and I are too old to have a child, thank God. But if we were to have one, that child would be born a sinner, wouldn't he? Or she? Yeah. Just as much as I was a sinner, you were a sinner. Every one of our children are born sinners. Amen. Every one of our grandchildren, even were preachers, pastors. There's been a lot of pastors that had children and weren't saved. A lot of Christians have children that are not saved, grandchildren are not saved. I mean, it seems like today, in our day and time, you raise up a child in church and they just can't wait until their 18th birthday so they can bust out the door and not come back anymore. That's how good Sovereign Grace churches go from 50 on Sunday to 15 on Sunday. All the kids leave. Lord said, since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. And then that scripture, our opening scripture, for in Adam all died, so in Jesus Christ all are made alive. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. I'm not preaching new doctrine, this is old doctrine. What you hear from this nut down in Houston and these other people is not truth. They wouldn't know the truth if I told it to them. They wouldn't understand it. You know why? Lost people don't understand the Word of God. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news to a lot of people. Jimmy Swaggart is not a safe person. I'm not judging him. He believes in works for salvation. That's his judgment. Ken Copeland is not a Christian. Not my judgment. That's God's judgment. You can't believe in works and things that he believes in and go to heaven. And they may say the same thing about me. I don't care. All I care about who says anything about me is God. And God told me if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. I don't have no question. Let's see where God told them if they do the things they're doing, they're going to be saved. And those that follow them. Lord told us, as Christians, 1 John, not to bid these kind of people Godspeed. In other words, we're not supposed to tell them, go out and be prosperous. I wish you well. Why would I tell them that? Why would I tell anybody who preaches works for salvation to have a good ministry? God bless you. I ought to be telling them, I hope God saves you someday. Am I too bold? Probably. But God's more bold than I am. We see this resurrection perfectly in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You say, where's the resurrection? So the resurrection is the quickening. So your spirit is resurrected from its dead state and made alive by the Holy Spirit. Not by me, not by this church, not by any man. Read John 1, verse 12, 13, 14, all that. Go ahead, read John 1. Not by the will of you, not by the will of man, not by the will of anybody else, but the will of God. If your spirit has not been resurrected by the Holy Spirit and made quickened, raised up from the dead, states that it's in because of Adam's sin, you're not saved. You can believe all you want to. You can go out and do anything you want to. If you have not been quickened by the Holy Spirit, your spirit, you're lost. That's a resurrection of our spirit from the dead. That's the purpose of salvation. Is a resurrection. Our bodies are not resurrected yet, are they? They're going to be glorified when Jesus comes. Whether we're dead or here when Jesus comes, well, all our bodies will be resurrected from the grave, raptured up off this earth, and made into new glorified bodies, completing our trichotomy of salvation and completing salvation, body, soul, and spirit. So the resurrection is not only from the grave, it's also about our bodies, isn't it? It's also about our spirit, isn't it? Man is spiritually made dead by Adam's sin and must be quickened or made alive through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Man cannot do this on their own. It's impossible. It's impossible for someone to do this on their own. It's impossible to make a decision for Christ. Turn over a new leaf. You read that in Romans 3, where God says you won't do it. You can't do it no more than an Ethiopian can change your skin color. Or a leopard change your spots. You can't do it. If you can, then you got yourself for praise, don't you? Because you did it, didn't you? Good boy. Good boy, girl. You did it yourself. You did. Yeah, you did. And when you die, you're going to go to hell because you did it too. But God said in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, that they're going to create a doctrine to praise themselves more than the Creator. That's exactly what they've done. Every single solitary religious organization that calls themselves Christians and believes and works for salvation has violated the Word of God in Romans 1:25. If your church or your organization believes that you do anything to be saved, that you're any part of that other than a receptive of God's grace, a receptive of the blood of Jesus, and a receptive of the gracious gift of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have violated Romans 1:25. And you're the one God's talking to. You're the one he's speaking about when he says that you have created a religion to praise yourself and not God. And believe me, these people think they have. If you don't believe me, you just ask them. They'll be happy to tell you. A couple more things and I'll close. I got about 10 minutes left. Remember, man has not desired for God. Man has not desired for his righteousness because people are totally depraved. That means there's no good in them. People are like, oh, no, man, we can't be totally depraved. Well, what did God tell us? God told us just tonight, didn't he, that in Adam all sinned. Paul said, in this flesh dwells no good thing. Really, God said that. We just give Paul credit because he penned the words, but God actually said it. Nothing good. People say, well, there's good in all people. They're not good in all people. Most of what we see in people that's good, God sees in people that's bad. Because God knows. Well, really everything. Unless they're saved, then there's some good in them. But people that are lost, people in general, God doesn't see any good in them. God says there's no good in them. None. Not one single thing. And then the Lord tells us after salvation that the only good in us is Jesus Christ and what we do through Jesus Christ. Therefore, since they are totally depraved, therefore, they went on to create their own righteousness, which fails to worship God. Let me ask you something. People that believe in works for salvation, how much of their salvation praises God? Think about it. It's just like putting a puzzle together. And I'm not talking about one of these 5 million pieces of puzzle. I'm talking about one of these children Mickey Mouse puzzles that has 5 pieces to it. It's that simple. God can't be praised for the things we do unless they're done in Jesus Christ and in salvation. Because he says over in Romans that he doesn't accept the works of lost people. He doesn't accept the works of lost people. People like that live in a total state of darkness. So dark that God compared that state to a corpse. To a corpse. No, God wasn't saying maybe like something like a corpse. He said a corpse. They're as empty as that monument of dirt was that God created Adam out of. When Adam just laid there with nothing in him but dirt. It wasn't until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life that he became a living soul. In death. When I die, I will leave this body. When my wife or children, whoever who's around at the time with the task, maybe a neighbor or a buddy or something, will take me up here beside Donna and lay me to rest there until Jesus comes. Just this body. I'm going to be rejoicing with the Lord. With the Lord. With my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. They're there before me. I'm not there to find Uncle Joe or to find anybody else. I'm there to worship and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're here tonight. I get tired of people saying, well, when they died, at least I got to see Mama again. They don't care about Mama. We don't care about those here with us. We care about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We care about God that sits upon a throne who saved us by his grace. And the Son of Man who sits on his right hand, who died on that cross, and shed his blood to redeem us. Everybody else there are just our brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't they? Last, there's no escape from the dark state. Listen, Brother Ham and I used to have preaching contests, I guess you'd say, sometimes for this. Trying to make people understand. When God's talking about the darkness of a lost person, he's talking about a corpse like in a cemetery. So if you're going to try to convince a lost person to be saved, you might as well go to the cemetery and try to convince your loved ones to come up out of the grave. Because as some may say it, you're going to have about the same luck with each one. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't blame the luck. That's his expression. you're not going to turn either one. You're not going to cause either one because there's a dark side to it, see? There's darkness. They don't hear. They don't hear. They have no spirit to hear. Their spirit's dead. They can't hear. They can't think. They can't understand because they're dead. They're dead. Corpse dead. Dead. So there's no escape for them from their dead state. No more than there's escape for those in the cemetery. None. People cannot quicken themselves no more than those in the cemetery can. I tell you right now, if people in that cemetery could quicken themselves and come up out of that casket, them people in hell would do it in a second. All of them that's in hell would jump right back into their bodies and come up and say, "Woo, man, it was hot down there." But they can't do it. They're there. God put them there. When he failed to elect them to be his. They can't come back to life. They were born dead and they'll die dead. So there must be an external power. There must be a power that causes them. That power we will talk about next Wednesday night. God bless you. Take me a second to get this turned off and get everything going here.